Hello, listeners. Today is Wednesday, January 25th. Welcome to Behind the Numbers, Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast. This is the show where we talk about how retail collides with every part of our lives. I'm your host, Sarah Lebo. On today's episode, we are discussing the power of Walmart. Joining me for today's episode, we have two of our analysts. First up is Sky Canavis. Hey, Sky.
Hey, Sarah. Great to be here.
Great to have you back. Also back with us today is Blake Droesch. Hey, Blake.
Hey, Sarah. Hey, Sky.
And now, Sky, you say hi to Blake, and then we've all said hi to each other.
Hi, Blake.
Let's get started with our first segment, which is news and reviews, where I give the news and our guests tell me their reviews. Today's story is a little bit different. Sky and Blake were both at the National Retail Federation, or NRF, Big Show last week. The Big Show is, aptly named, one of the biggest retail conferences in the U.S., with tens of thousands of attendees gathering in New York City. I've asked Sky and Blake each to give a 60-second takeaway from the NRF Big Show. Sky, your 60-second takeaway from NRF is...
So this year, NRF was back in a big way after being a very small scale down attendance last year. There was a lot of crowds and a lot of interest. I saw some of the most packed panels were the ones on consumer trends and the outlook for consumers in 2023. So I think that speaks to the retailer concern with how the U.S. consumer is feeling and what the state of the economy is going to be. You know, there are positive notes in that unemployment is still low, but on the other hand, inflation is still pretty high compared to what it was pre-pandemic, and wage growth isn't really keeping up. And we're starting to see that consumers are dipping into their savings more and taking on more credit card debt. Post-conference, NRF published its holiday report, and it's the holiday numbers came in a little below their forecast at around 5%. So it's really still a mixed picture. And I think the level of interest in all topics, consumer related and consumer outlook related, speak to that.
When you say 5%, is that 5% growth over last year?
Yes.
Gotcha.
And I believe they had been forecasting something in the range of 6 to 8% growth.
Thank you. Okay. Sliding in at just over 60 seconds. Blake, your 60-second takeaway from NRF is...
Yeah, I agree with Sky in the sense that the really big theme was economic uncertainty and how consumers are reacting to it and how retailers are going to be tasked over the next, 12 to 16 months with being really nimble in how they respond to these shifts in consumer behavior, whether things sort of stay murky right now or whether they improve in 6 months or whether they get a lot worse. And I think the consensus is no one really knows. I mean, we have indications, but no one really knows what direction. And then on the back end, it's not just about how retailers can react to consumer behavior, but how retailers are going to become more agile internally. And I think that's where a lot of the technology and the sales pitches coming from the vendors were focused this year, particularly on the food tech stage where I spent a lot of time since I cover the grocery business. A lot of the technology that was being pitched was talking about how retailers can use these various pieces of predictive technology, and AI was a big theme to basically save money internally. So if margins do get a little bit slimmer sales-wise or they can't meet the consumer, then they're still operating as efficiently and as cost-effective as possible.
That makes sense. Grocery margins are already very slim. Grocery prices are also really high right now. On that note, let's head to our next segment. Retail me this, retail me that, where we discuss an interesting retail topic. Today's topic is the power of Walmart. Walmart announced earlier this month that it's making its Go Local delivery service and store assist fulfillment app available to Salesforce clients. The move is an expansion of Walmart's retail as a service offerings. My question is, Blake, why is this move important?
Well, to start, Walmart has its own fulfillment arm, and it now delivers a lot of its own products to their consumers, basically from the warehouse to the last mile, using their own fleet of drivers and their own technology. Now what they're doing with Go Local is essentially offering this service out to third-party retailers, and this partnership with Salesforce is going to expand their reach and their appeal with retailers in a market that's getting very competitive. Not only is there Instacart and DoorDash and Uber, which grew a lot with a lot of non-grocery retailers and big box retailers during the pandemic, but now you see Walmart and Amazon, and to a lesser extent Target with Shipt, who are not only using their in-house delivery fulfillment to serve their own customers with their own products, but they now want to compete with these third parties like Instacart and Uber and DoorDash by lending out these resources to retailers who aren't large enough to build fulfillment infrastructures on their own. So it's really sort of a twofold. They've invested so they can sort of cut out these third-party delivery services getting into their own business and taking a cut of their sales. But now that they've built out these platforms, they're also going into compete with directly in competition with them for their other business. So I think it's, you know, logical if you make that investment to fulfill the needs of your own customers, that if you find it scalable to sort of go after that third-party marketplace as well.
Yeah, I feel like a couple of years ago, we might have been talking about like ultra fast delivery here and Walmart going after that. And now I think we're talking a lot more about Walmart going after third parties on the whole rather than ultra fast delivery.
Yeah, I think with a lot of, you know, what we've seen over the last couple of years is that ultra fast delivery fills its niche. But what people really want is that, you know, click to door time to be next day or 2 day. And companies like Walmart, obviously Amazon's the leader in the space, but companies like Walmart, they've gotten really fast. And that really, you know, hits a sweet spot of what the majority of consumers are looking for in terms of their like e-commerce experience. So if they are efficient, then they can certainly step in and be a valuable partner to other retailers who aren't there yet, who are still looking at, you know, shipping windows that are much larger.
Sure. We mentioned Store Assist also as a retail as a service offering. Sky, can you expand on that?
Yeah, so this is part of Walmart's much broader shift, you could say a transformation from becoming a retailer into like a service and tech-enabled company. You know, Walmart has for a long time been rooted and will be for the foreseeable future be rooted in grocery, which accounts for 60% of its sales, both in stores and online. It's also the nation's biggest grocer, both online and in stores. So that's a very competitive, lower margin business. It's looking for opportunities in more services, and these retail as a service is part of that. It's creating a broader marketplace, you know, really borrowing from kind of the Amazon playbook of trying to create a marketplace that drives more spending from customers on services from subscription. And then you have your brands and advertisers who can participate in Walmart Connect, retail media, you know, moving into, and as well as its delivery and shipping and logistics expertise.
Sure. For better or for worse, people see Amazon as a tech company. They don't see Walmart that way. I want to talk more about the Amazon of it all. Walmart's U.S. retail e-commerce dollars topped $66 billion last year, according to our data. That's a lot of money. It's also a lot less than Amazon's $400 billion. So what is Walmart doing to stay in the race with Amazon?
I think just to tie it into this segment, but to wrap up the other one, like we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that just this last week or the last 2 weeks, Amazon expanded their Buy with Prime program, which is essentially, you know, a very similar model to what Walmart is doing with Go Local, is just lending out their fulfillment to third-party retailers. So I think that's, you know, what they're doing really to stay competitive with Amazon is that they are undergoing this transformation to try and strive to be a tech company. But I will say where the business model is still going to be very different is exactly what Sky was saying. Grocery is a perfect example. Walmart has a, you know, a huge grocery business in store, and they're effectively moving it online, and it's more positioned as, you know, a pure play sales channel, and they're going to be a pure play grocery retailer. Whereas Amazon, with what they're doing in the opposite direction, going from e-commerce to building out these Amazon Fresh stores and growing their grocery business, that's really more of an advertising play. And whether or not they're going to reach scale as a player in the grocery business and be as profitable is probably less of a prerogative for Amazon, where Walmart is still building differently. And I do think that's why they are going to continue to be poised to capture a larger share of the grocery dollars that flow to e-commerce in the coming years, because they do have a really big advantage right there, especially as click and collect grocery continues to grow. It's not a space that Amazon is really relevant in at all. And Walmart is a monster in that space and is going to continue to really serve that omni-channel customer, which is the future of grocery for sure.
Right. I'm always astounded where I live in the suburbs of Austin when I go to Walmart for a click and collect order, seeing just how big the grocery orders that people are getting through click and collect at Walmart in the parking lots. I mean, it's far more than what I see when I go to my local supermarket for my own curbside orders. You know, it's a shopping cart. These are just like stacked up very, very big grocery orders. And it's people looking for those everyday low prices that they get at Walmart.
I've heard that everything is bigger in Texas. I want to talk more about those grocery prices as an incentive and about Walmart Plus, which 23% of our recent survey respondents subscribed to. Once again, a high number, much higher than it was in June when it was 11%. It's also significantly lower than Amazon's 60%. What is Walmart doing to court subscribers to Walmart Plus, and is it working?
Well, they've really been bundling a lot of services and incentives. For example, Paramount Plus streaming. They, for the first time ever, started giving cash back to loyalty program members, which is something that they've never really done before because they've really shied away from like the traditional loyalty program with that type of perk because they have been like the lowest prices, that's their selling point without having to give you money back or additional discounts. I think they're, from the data that I've seen from our surveys, there's a strong seasonal component to their subscriber numbers. As you mentioned, in June, it was 11% of our survey respondents, and in December, it was 23%. We saw a similar bump back in December 21, not quite as high, but there are like definitely a lot of seasonal incentives for people to join Walmart Plus, even just to get early access to like Black Friday sales or through like the free trial memberships, which they offer a lot of. They've also brought on, given memberships to their store associates. So that's kind of powering growth. What I'm really surprised to see is how big the jump has been among 18 to 34 year olds. In our last survey from December 2022, 43% of the 18 to 34 year olds said they were enrolled in Walmart Plus, which is higher than the next two up on the list overall, Sam's Club and Costco.
Yeah, I think that exactly what you said, Sky, about the viability of making Walmart Plus membership, you know, sticky is that cashback loyalty program. And I think what you said is like, it is really important that they decided now of all times to really stray from their core philosophy of like everyday low prices for everyone and not having a loyalty program to building it into the Walmart Plus membership, which the Walmart Plus membership started as like a digital play. Like a lot of the benefits revolved around the digital audience, free shipping, free grocery delivery, returns and stuff like that. But the fact that they're going after their huge in-store audience in such a big way makes me think that they know that sort of the key to maintaining like a high membership and not have it be seasonal is to appeal to their large in-store audience, which is, you know, much more loyal and much larger potentially than their e-commerce audience is right now.
Yeah, it definitely feels like an in-store and out-of-store play, like an omni-channel play, honestly, especially if you have all of those members walking around with the Walmart app on their phone. That feels like it would make a huge difference. Before we go to break, I want to touch on something Sky mentioned about the seasonality of membership. So is Walmart's growth in Walmart Plus membership actually sustainable? Will those 43% of US adults under 34 who subscribe to Walmart Plus now still be subscribed 6 months or a year from now?
That's a good question. And I think from what we saw from last year, the numbers did drop off and then they came back a bit higher and then they dropped off, but they stayed a little bit higher. So it might be kind of a gradual strategy where they are using those incentives like the exclusive Walmart Plus member sales or early access to sales and the free trials to lure people to try it out. And some of them will stick around for longer or shorter periods. At the same time, we're seeing reports that Amazon Prime subscriber growth is really dropping a bit or has stalled. And, you know, we don't see it growing significantly in the coming years. Certainly in terms of price for very price conscious consumers, the cost of the Amazon Prime membership is now substantially higher than a Walmart Plus membership. So that could be another factor that allows Walmart to steal some of that share from Amazon. And also Walmart Plus's marketplace has grown by leaps and bounds over the past year as they've allowed sellers to just join without any sort of approval or vetting process. And it's really kind of opened the floodgates. So they now have hundreds of millions of SKUs on the marketplace.
Do they have an issue with like low quality sellers as a result of that?
It's possible because they have been courting particularly Chinese sellers. And of course, that will be, they will then have to maintain the quality control because it's their marketplace. They do have to, you know, troubleshoot and provide customer service on their end to deal with that.
Sure. Blake, any final thoughts on the growth?
Honestly, I would just reiterate what I said about it depends, you know, how much value the in-store audience gets in these rewards and other types of benefits that they can roll out to target their core consumer. Because if they, you know, find that the money that they're paying every month for a Walmart Plus membership comes back to them because they're buying all of their groceries and, you know, most of their budgets, their household's budgets are going to Walmart anyways, then I think that's going to be the best incentive to keep this audience around, you know, not just seasonally, but year round.
Sure. All right. We are going to discuss what the next year will look like for Walmart after the break. But first, a quick message. If you're looking for another great podcast to start your day, check out Behind the Numbers, a daily news podcast from eMarketer. Join host Marcus Johnson and his guests of comprehensive and witty analysts as they break down the digital media, commerce, advertising, and technology landscapes. Tune in to keep up to date with the digital marketing insights and forecasts every professional should know right now. Each day, they'll dissect real-world case studies, provide thought-provoking analysis on consumer behavior trends, and, of course, have a ton of fun and a few laughs along the way. Join the community and subscribe to Behind the Numbers today. Welcome back from the break. It's time for our segment, Red Hot Retail. This is our guests' opportunity to give us their very specific and potentially risky predictions on a topic. The predictions can be mild, medium, spicy, or extra hot. The higher the spice level, the riskier the prediction. Today, Sky and Blake are sharing their top three predictions on the future of Walmart. So, Blake, why don't you kick us off with a spice level and a prediction?
Yeah, a few months ago, I would have said this is extra hot, but I'm going to downgrade it one notch to just spicy because after the news about Netflix coming in about their, you know, having a really bad performance right now and struggling to grow their ad supported business, I was thinking a couple of months ago that Walmart is going to need to expand their media offering within Walmart Plus in order to compete with Amazon. Because if you look at where it stands right now, you've got the inclusion of a Paramount Plus ad-supported membership. And no disrespect to Paramount Plus, but it's kind of like a second or third tier streaming platform compared to Netflix and Disney Plus and Hulu. And also they've got a audio offering, which is just a trial of Spotify Premium. So it's a little watered down when you think about what an Amazon Prime membership gives you from a media perspective. You get Prime Video, you get access to eBooks. Not that anybody reads eBooks anymore, but you have access. I just think people don't read in general compared to these other forms of media like podcasts and music, which all of which you get basically an unlimited access to through Amazon Prime. So my prediction was that Walmart was going to need another media partner. And I think that Netflix could be like a huge partnership that if Amazon needs to grow its ad-supported tier. Walmart needs to build out a better media offering for Walmart Plus. Why not link up and sort of help each other out? I mean, they're both sort of like these really preeminent brands, one in the streaming world, one in the retail world. Walmart wants to be better known as, you know, a media company. So hitching their ride to Netflix would be great. And Netflix wants to, you know, get access to a larger audience and have a value proposition that can be more competitive than other streaming platforms. So I don't know, why not do it? It makes sense to me.
That makes sense to me, too. It also is really spicy. I am not rewarding points on this, but I am going to ding you for saying nobody reads ebooks.
Sorry, I've always just been a print book holdout.
As a library card carrying ebook reader, not happy with that. Okay.
I should know my audience.
We have Walmart partnering with Netflix to expand their ad-supported media. Sky, can you give us another spice level and another prediction?
So I would say this prediction is medium spicy. Oof. And it's another partnership collaboration prediction. And that is that Walmart and TikTok will strengthen their ties to promote social commerce in the U.S. We know that social commerce has really kind of struggled to take off in the U.S., particularly video-led social commerce like live streaming. At the same time, we've seen Walmart and TikTok have already partnered on initiatives, including live streaming. Walmart is also doing a lot on its own to promote live streaming through its own platform. And partnerships, both, I believe, have partnerships with TalkShop Live on the live streaming front. So I think over the coming year, that's all going to start to come together a little more, especially with TikTok also building out its direct social commerce capabilities. And I think we could really see the nation's biggest retailer and the hottest social media app really get together and put this in motion in the year ahead.
My question about Walmart partnering with TikTok is, do you think that that partnership will raise antitrust concerns, or do you think it'll do more to assuage concerns with TikTok and privacy since they're partnering with a U.S. retailer?
I don't think it's going to raise antitrust concerns necessarily because they're coming from different sectors, mm-hmm. You know, Walmart in retail and TikTok on the social side. It could help to alleviate some of the trust concerns about engaging in social commerce on a platform like TikTok because you have a very well-respected retailer that has, you know, to my knowledge, not been involved in a lot of privacy snafus, you know, kind of maybe helping to support the commerce side and protect the user data as well versus TikTok having full access or control over that.
Sure. Okay, so we have Walmart partnering with Netflix. We have Walmart partnering with TikTok. Who will they partner with next? For our last prediction, I am going to come back to you, Sky. Give me a spice level and give me a prediction.
I think this one is also medium hot, and this one is not a partnership, but more like a targeting. So late last year, Walmart announced another perk for Walmart Plus members, which is at-home pickup of returns. And this is kind of something that I think only a retailer with the scale and logistics expertise of Walmart would really be able to enact in a way that is not prohibitively expensive. That's really going to raise the stakes. If this takes off, that will raise the stakes and force Amazon to start to try to do the same. I think you can already get Amazon to pick up some things via UPS, but you have to pay for them. And it certainly hasn't been a Prime member perk, unlike the free returns at other locations or third-party locations. So this is one where I think if it takes off and really starts to draw more members to Walmart Plus because they have that added convenience, where Amazon may need to step in and also make a similar offer.
Sure. I feel like these are three very different predictions, but the stakes are pretty similar. For several of them, it's sort of a race between Amazon and Walmart in a battle of the perks. And I think Prime is handily winning right now, but might not be, especially if Walmart picks up Netflix.
Or ebooks access.
Yeah. I'm a Kindle user. I don't actually buy ebooks. I do take them all out from the library. So
I used to buy ebooks for my Kindle, and then I realized I'm buying books that I'm never reading again or looking again. And then I got into libraries, and at one point I had 3 active library cards. Now I think I'm down to 1.
It's a game, putting books on hold and getting them on Your Kindle? Okay, we'll end this podcast on an endorsement of using the library. That is all we have time for today. So thank you, Sky.
Thanks, Sarah.
And thanks for being here, Blake.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Please give us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts and follow us on Instagram at behindthenumbers_podcast. Thank you, listeners, and to our producer, Victoria, who refuses to give me any Walmart-related ideas for her tagline today. That makes her sound grumpy. I thought it would sound more fun. We'll be back next Wednesday with another episode of Reimagining Retail, an eMarketer podcast. And tomorrow, tune in to Marcus as he brings you another episode of the Behind the Numbers Daily.